the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, season 703, episode 14. I think I've got the numbers right. And there's Kingy just opening a can of old gun smoke there. Is it full lettered? Is that full strength,
Kingy? That is a full strength.
Well, you don't do the unlettered?
No. Right. No. If I want my teeth to rot, I want them to rot properly.
It's just that sort of mini can, isn't it? Someone, it's like the one you get on a flight. It's when you ask the trolley dolly, what happened to the rest of my can? The Cats, we were asking what happened to the rest of the Cats on Saturday night.
Yes.
They were good, weren't they?
Yes.
Very good. Mind you, Kingy, I did say...
What did you say?
Well, I don't think Collingwood had much chop.
No, they're not.
In fairness.
No.
They're going to battle for 8th, 9th or 10th.
They'll be in a wild card game, you would think.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic to be in a wild card. But they weren't a wild card on Saturday night. They just don't score enough, the Pies. And when they butchered some chances, I mean, Geelong were good enough to take advantage. The Pies had a few opportunities, particularly in the third quarter. I think Geelong kicked, was it 4-4 to 4 behinds?
Oh, no, I think they kicked
6-4.
Six behinds. Yeah.
And a couple of them were relatively easy chances, but they butchered them. And Geelong, you know, were on top as it was. But, they don't have the midfield. They've got Dacos, Pendlebury's in and out. You know, they lack anything beyond that. Long's a good foot soldier, but he lacks a lot of skill. Crisp is a bit of a warrior. He lacks skill as well.
If Crisp wasn't on this extended streak of games, is he in jeopardy of playing VFL?
No, I don't reckon. No.
He was last year, I reckon. Oh. I think he got nursed to the record.
Possibly. I haven't followed it closely enough to be able to say yay or nay on that. But he's handy. He got a bit of the ball on Saturday night. He just doesn't hurt you. That'll be someone texting Kingy. I thought Geelong would win. 54 points was probably a stretch. I would have said,
yeah,
I mean, I said 14 goals. Points for the game, but I would have thought somewhere between 20 and 30 points would have seen the Cats, you know, in the zone, and it turned out like that. It was good to see some players play well. Ollie Henry backed up another good effort with another good effort. Brad Close was pretty good again. He didn't star, but he was handy.
Probably Ollie Henry's effort too. I suspect that just you get the outsider's view of Ollie Henry that he, you know, potentially gets a bit worked up, and to do it against his former team in front of a big crowd where he knows he's going to cop a bit of heat from the opposition.
Yeah, and playing, I mean, he had Maynard on him for quite a bit of the night, which is, you know, he's no bunny as a defender. I mean, you just see what happens, though, in an AFL game when the ball is getting whisked down one end with some, you know, swiftness. It's a lot easier to find your feet. And then you've got some skill on top of that. When Collingwood had their opportunities, they didn't have the skill level. They were missing targets. I mean, there was one, I forget who tried to kick it to Crisp. To McStay. But they were out, completely out. There was no one within about 20 metres of McStay. The kick missed him, and he had to go and retrieve it and then snap it round from the boundary, and he sent it up centering it, and then I reckon Stanley got across and fisted it out that should have been, at the very least, McStay marking, either running on into an open goal or going back and having a set shot. Ended up being a throw-in. They didn't even score. So just butchering it. And you know, when those things happen and then the other team's going up the other end and kicking goals, it puts pressure on you. And there's no tougher pressure or mentally tougher pressure in footy than the scoreboard when the scoreboard's going against you.
It's fair to say Geelong needs to tidy up a little bit of its execution as well. It probably at times on Saturday night you go, well, gee, that's a bit loose in the way they were using the footy, but probably they were less loose than Collingwood, and when they had their moments they took those moments, but there were still some moments of, ooh, hang on, that's just a little bit un-Geelong like.
Oh, I mean, yeah, a little bit early on.
Unforced errors.
Early on, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at every team, in every game, every week, there's players who are going to make unforced errors. It's just the nature of the beast. You're never going to play the perfect game. And that's what the coaches are striving for. Well, I can tell you it'll never happen, ever. So it's when it's limiting those. And then the one that kills you, I reckon, in a game particularly in a tight game against two good sides, is when you have, let's say on average, and I'm guessing, I might be wrong, but let's say there's 10 opportunities where you're moving the ball freely through the middle, or, you know, with, you've got control of the ball and you're moving it swiftly into your forward line. Yep. The killer is when you don't convert that to even a shot at goal.
Yep.
If you're playing a good side, you need to at least be, I would have thought, at 60%, 60 or 70%, turning that into a goal. It's when you're below to 20 or you're butchering all of them.
Yep.
That's when you struggle. Because I think the way footy's played now with the stand rule, the way players want to move the ball quickly, good sides are going to find a way through, and you've got to make the most of those opportunities. And when you do that, those opportunities that are sort of part of a really good passage of play, when you're able to do that and then scrounge that goal from a stoppage, or take that contested mark that doesn't look likely, or, you know, a freak goal from the boundary, then that layer is on top of those opportunities that are gifted to you or you've created yourself. That's when you're really hard to beat. And that's what the Cats did on Saturday night against a side that is pretty good defensively. They have been. Cats kicked, I think the last 3 or 4 weeks, the Cats have kicked, is it 120-plus points in every game? Or 110-plus points in every game?
Hello.
Oh, Kingy, that'll be someone. That'll be Chris Scott wanting to ask me something.
I actually caught up with Chris Scott earlier. We can have a chat about what
he talked
about.
What did you...
It was his media conference.
Did he say, Kingy, I don't usually talk about this publicly, and then 7 minutes later still talking about it? Yeah. Did he say that?
All right, so they kicked 122 against Collingwood, 135 against North Melbourne,
yes.
65 against Port Adelaide, 131 against the Dogs, 122 against.
Okay,
the Dogs.
So let's take Port Adelaide. That was a stink bomb.
Four of their last five have been 120 plus.
Yeah,
and then a 110 against Fremantle.
So I did see some things highlighted, Kingy, about Geelong's handball game in terms of linking and using the ball by hand. I think the last couple of weeks, the Cats have been pretty much one-for-one kicks for handballs. And that's a bit of a change in their game style.
235, 192. That handball percentage is very high. Yeah,
Was 192, is that the most handballs that they've had this year?
Collingwood had 191 handballs, by the way, too, just on that. Let me have a look in terms of... I would need to go through...
What about the game before? Was the ratio pretty close to 1-to-1?
203, 168.
So that's still pretty high.
That is a high...
Go back to, say, round two against Freo.
Okay, against the Dockers. 231, 130.
The handball has gone up. Now, is that something that they've looked at as a trend in the game and decided to go with that? Is that just representative of what unfolded on the night and that presented itself to happen in that fashion and it's a bit of a coincidence? Is that something you're going to be able to replicate? Because I do know that the other sides that are handballing a lot of Sydney are one. I think they lead the league. Now, is that the new superpower to the way forward to win a game against good teams? Is that going to be the way? Because Geelong play Sydney in 2 weeks' time.
So, in terms of handball, Sydney 16-47. So, how many games have we played? 9.
Yeah.
So, they're averaging about 180.
Yep. That's a lot.
Giants 1,600. Gold Coast 1,500. Collingwood 1,478. North Melbourne 1,470. The Cats are sitting in 11th spot for handballs, 1,387.
And there's been a significant change in that the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens on Thursday night against the Lions, whether they adopt that. Now, you've got to have the skill level to do it. I mean, I've seen some... There was one passage of play which...
So the Lions are the lowest handballing team in the comp.
Yeah. So it'll be a really interesting test case to see whether, like I said, has this been a complete direction from the coaching staff at Geelong to say, let's handball more, or has this just been something that's coincided and those opportunities are presented and we're looking at numbers and adding one and one and getting five? I don't know, but it'll be... If Sydney have played Brisbane this year? I don't think they have.
Let me just have a quick look.
I mean, maybe Geelong will be looking to go to double down on that handball style against a team that doesn't handball.
Yeah, they played them in round one.
And... Sydney won.
Sydney won by 44 points.
Yeah. So, oh, look, it's just a sort of a side play to watch for the Cats in terms of their game style. It certainly works. Some of the passages of play, and I mean, one passage involved Shannon Neal.
Hmm.
He had two handballs in the back half, and it ended up being a goal to Cameron.
Yep.
Ollie Dempsey kicked it to him. But that was Neal running out of the back half, 203 centimetres, like a gazelle, and being involved. Look, it was a good effort. I thought Geelong played well.
Was it important?
Stanley, do you think Stanley remains in or goes out?
That's a really interesting question. I asked that question of Chris Scott today. I said, I suspect they were thinking Mitch Edwards, managed 5-day break off the back of Collingwood,
yeah,
and bringing back for Brisbane. But can they play together in the same team now that the ruck rule has changed and you've got 23?
My personal opinion would be it would be a stretch.
Yeah, because other than in the ruck, they're not playing anywhere else.
No,
Stanley's not going forward.
No, we've mentioned this before on the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast, thanks to Jaquiz and the boys at Kerr's Hire.
Jaquiz.
Would you like to be called Jaquiz?
No.
There's a guy who used to be a Dazzle Nose, a running back in the NFL. His name was Jaquiz.
Right.
I always used to thought, when I come back in another life...
You're coming back as Jaquiz.
Do you think you had to do a bit of late night arrangement when you're sort of 1:10 and you've ordered your vodka, lime and soda and you've trundled back and she said, and you've just gone and said, look, hi, I'm Jaquiz?
Yeah. Hello to Jared and the team at Kersai.
Yeah, Jared. He does a good job, Jerome.
Myers, Blitzarves, Henry... All expected to be on the plane tomorrow.
Really? All playing?
Well, on the plane.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I mean, if they're on the plane, they're getting close.
Close, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I would have thought Myers is a certainty.
Yeah, based on...
Who goes out?
Are you starting to manage some... Who are you managing?
We don't want to manage too many for Thursday, I suppose.
It could be four changes. So do we agree that Edwards and Stanley don't play in the same team?
Well, I wouldn't put anything surprised? Past the Cats, but I would have thought no.
Who comes out? That's the question.
Well, Bose would be one.
Yeah.
Bose. Do you think Bose in the best... I know there's no such thing as a best 23.
But no, he's not.
I don't think he is either. No. He doesn't really have a position.
He makes some mistakes.
He does. He's one-sided. He can't kick on his left or any handball on his left or anything. It's bizarre for a top 10 draft pick. But he's sort of in between speed. He's an in between height. He doesn't really have a home.
Well, okay. I don't know. So look at who's coming in. So Jack Henry comes in.
Yeah.
So it's a defender, key defender.
So do you think Colin Jasny comes out?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Myers for Bose.
Yep. That'd be my take.
Blitzarves four.
Blitzarves.
Unless there's something injury wise.
So did Chris Scott say that these players were going? Was he intimating? Were you able to read between the lines?
They're playing. Yeah, if they suspect they've just got to get through. If they pull up well from training today, get through the captain's run tomorrow in Brisbane, I suspect they're having one. They'll play Thursday night.
Would they if Jack Henry is coming back?
Yep.
Would they rest Connor O'Sullivan?
Maybe. Just looking at Brisbane's forward line, which there's no...
Well, Morris is a gun, but he's not 200.
There's no monster in that forward line.
No, they're not. They're sort of mid-size. You've got Lohman, you've got Rayner, you've got Logan Morris.
Draper can go forward.
Yeah, Draper,
You suspect Draper and Ford are probably going to... share the
So you've got De Koning there to play on the tall player, and then you've got Henry to come in and play on Logan Morris.
There's no Oscar Allen, there's no Eric Hipwood.
You could have the option then of Jake Colajasny on Logan Morris.
You could.
He might be a good option for him.
Is Jack Henry possibly more mobile to go to Logan Morris?
Yeah, possibly, but I'm just saying I'm saying at least you've got options.
Yeah.
You've got Colajasny possibly and you've got Henry to play on Logan Morris. You've got De Koning to play on whoever might go down there that's 200 plus.
Yep.
Look, Connor Solans, he's a gun. It's just an option to maybe they rest him because he's going to be critical against the Swans.
Does Tom Atkins get managed?
Well, maybe that means Bose probably stays in then. Would they bring in a Clark or a Nevitt?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. In fairness, I would have thought Tommy Atkins is not the sort of player you probably needs to be rested unless he's actually genuinely sore.
Hasn't had his best fortnight.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't, but his style of play against the Lions might be really critical because they're so...
they're big.
Well, they're big and they're so offensive in terms of the way that they play. McCluggage, Neil, Zach Bailey, you know, Rayner, I know he plays forward, but he can go into the midfield. You've got the two Ashcrofts, you've got Fletcher. You've got numbers galore there. I think you're going to need as many runners if you can. And the problem the Cats have had, I think if Brisbane won five of the last six against the Cats, other than the prelim, I'm probably wrong there. I know that they've won a few.
With qualifying, you mean?
Sorry, the qualifying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Would have been nice to have been in the prelim, and grand final day might have been a little bit different.
Maybe it's not five or six. I know.
Let me have a look.
The thing that's killed the Cats is that the options that Brisbane have.
Yeah, four of the last five, Benny.
Yeah. It's the options that they have all over the place. Yep. And that's what killed, you know, that's where Geelong were able to get on top of Collingwood, in that they had that many options up forward. I mean, what did we get? Four goals out of Henry. We got
three out of Manor.
Three out of Manor.
Two out of Close.
Two out of Close. We got two out of Dangerfield and two out of Martin, I think. Yep.
And I think it was one combined or two combined between Neil and Cameron?
Yeah. Neil kicked two, I think, did he?
Yeah, it might have been three combined.
Neil kicked two and Cameron kicked one.
Yep,
so or did Cameron kick two and Neil kick one? Yeah, whatever it was three.
Yeah, it was three combined.
And those other forwards kicked 15, I think, of their 18 goals. Yeah. The only thing I'll say...
No goals out of the midfield.
No, I mentioned that off air, didn't I, after the game. The one...
Bailey Smith doesn't kick goals.
No, he doesn't. He's kicked three, I think, for the year. Max Holmes doesn't kick many goals.
Well, no, he kicked that couple to get things going.
I think he's only kicked three as well for the year.
Yeah.
That's one area of concern in a really tight game against a good team, is that Geelong's midfield doesn't kick goals. You know, Atkins doesn't kick goals. Maley Smith's not a goal kicker. Holmes is not a goal kicker. Warple is not a goal kicker. Whereas Brisbane have Bailey.
Bailey's kicked 14. Rayner's kicked 10, but he's probably spent more time
forward. Yeah, he's more of your probably Dangerfield.
Like McCluggage's only kicked 5. Will Ashcroft and Levi Ashcroft have only kicked 3 apiece. Neil's only kicked 2.
Jasper what about Bailey, 14, did you say?
Yeah, Jasper Fletcher's kicked 2.
Yeah.
So they've got Morris 21, Cameron 20, Loman 18, Bailey 14. You won't count Oscar Allen, but he had 12 before getting hurt. Rayner on 10. The Cats goals, obviously, Cameron's leading the way there on 24, I think it is. Let me confirm, 24.
Neil's about 20.
Neil's 20. Ollie Henry 14, Manor 13, Martin 11, Dempsey 10. Dempsey's probably your goal kicker in the middle.
Yeah, the wingman goal kicker. He's the one that can hit the scoreboard and does so pretty regularly. Most weeks he'll find a way to kick a goal, but... Just wondering, in a really tight game, you know, big game where it's pretty contested and opportunities are limited, if you can get a couple of goals out of your midfield, it can go a long way because you can't expect the forwards to do it every week. You mentioned Cameron there, who, I mean, if Mullen is, do you think Mullen will go to Neil? Neil's been red hot.
Yeah, either he or McCluggage.
So that leaves nobody as a designated tagger or a stopper for Cameron. Who would they try O'Connor?
That was my thought.
He's probably not quick enough, but he's probably the only logical shutdown type player.
Unless you'll bring Busey in.
Did a good job on Elliott. There's no way knowing they're bringing Busey
in.
That would be the bizarre selection of all time.
The missing magnet.
They don't even know he's at the club, do they? Chris got asked, who's 24? Have we got a 24?
Aaron Lord.
Yeah.
Second time round.
I thought it was Mark Boss. Like it's sad for Busey that it's reached that point, but he's not playing, so that's because Cameron Mullen has gone to Cameron a bit, hasn't he? He's gone to Meal, but he's also gone to Cameron. So you rob Peter to pay Paul. If Cameron gets on top early, Geelong don't have a whole lot of. I mean, you have to maybe go with Guthrie.
Yep.
But you really want Guthrie being able to go for the footy.
Yeah.
To a degree, Loman. I reckon Guthrie would be a good one for Loman or Stewart because you can run off him. I reckon Stewart's played on Loman before. Did a good job on him in that qualifying final. And also is able to... I reckon he can get off Loman a bit. Yep. I don't know if he's the most defensive player of all time. Who else up there? And then you've got Rayner.
Yeah.
So Rayner is probably the other one from Henry. I reckon Colajasny is either... I reckon you're right. Henry probably goes to Morris and Colajasny, if he's playing, goes to Rayner.
So where does De Koning go?
Well, De Koning just sort of plays on. Yeah, I don't know. It depends who they put up there. Who's the sixth forward?
Well,
just Gallup. He's been playing in defence.
No, but he hasn't played the last couple.
Right.
He didn't play last week.
So, I mean, they might send Draper down there if Fort's...
Well, it's probably... Yeah, it'll be... Draper will probably...
Yeah, so DeConing will go to Draper. And then, I mean, look, not the worst thing in the world is if you've got Sam DeConing being able to roam around and mark the ball a bit like Harris Andrews does.
Mm.
Some really big matchups, and the game style of the Cats will be really interesting to see what they do adopt in terms of trying to break the Lions down. At the other end, huge night. It's a massive night for Shannon Neal.
Yep.
He's in form. His trajectory is heading in the right direction. He's kicked, 20 goals this year.
Yep.
He's impacting games. His confidence would be high. And he's playing on a bloke who's toweled him up.
Yep.
Absolutely toweled him. Albeit he's far more experienced. And Harris Andrews towels up a lot of people, not just Shannon Neal. But they really need Shannon Neal to be a player for them on Thursday night.
So does Andrews go to Neal, we expect, and then Lester to Cameron?
Yes. See, that's where... if you're just going purely... This is where the AFL is so good, isn't it? If you're going purely on talent, yeah. Cameron's kicking 17 goals on Lester. But Lester just plays that nagging. He's very disciplined.
Yep.
But Cameron has got hold of him before.
Yep.
So that's one where if you can isolate it a little bit, if you can isolate Cameron away from... So he's not near Andrews and he's isolated just on Lester, you'd have to think he's a really big chance. Darcy Gardner's out, isn't he?
He is, yep.
Yeah. So... That's you'd have to think that the cards are falling in favour of the Cats. They just need Neal to not allow Andrews to dominate.
Yeah. The other thing the Cats have got to be aware of is just that run that Wilmot in Zorko provide. Yeah. They've just you can't afford shallow turnovers because Wilmot and Zorko use the footy so well that if you shallow turnover it, you're going to have your defenders just getting some burnt roofs of the mouth.
Yeah. That's one of their one woods, just is that rebound they get. Their ability to control the ball, yep. Their ability to take uncontested marks, pull your defence apart from one side of the ground to the other and then go forward is really, really good. And Geelong have got to find a way to stop that. We were talking about Shannon Neal before, Kingy, and I was just running a few numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's played 54 games, Shannon Neal.
Yes.
He's kicked 88 snags.
Are you doing a Tom Hawkins comparison?
No. Well, Hawkins had played he'd kicked 74 goals after 54 games, I think.
Yep.
Anyway, I just had a look at a few others, just who the AFL now is considering the up and coming, you know, key forwards or stars of the competition playing predominantly inside forward 50. So Riley Thilthorpe,
yep,
he's kicked for the same number of games. He kicked 62 goals.
Yep.
Josh Tracy, from the same number of games, he kicked 68 goals.
Yep.
Logan Morris, he plays his 54th game on Thursday night.
Yep.
So he's played 53. He's kicked 98.
Yep.
So 10 more. Ben King, after 54 games, he kicked 100.
Okay.
And the other one there is Mitch Georgiadis, who... He's a bit of a different sort of forward. He's not traditional, your 200 type centimetre, but either's Tracy to a degree, but he is a legitimate full forward, though, the way he plays.
He's an old school. He's almost...
He's like Gary Ablett Sr.
I'll tell you who I compare him a bit to. Jason Dunstall.
Yes. He's a... I don't know how tall he is. He must be taller than you think. You'd have to be at least 192, is he? But he's not your sort of 203, Ben King, Thilthorpe, Shannon Neal type dimensions, but he's dangerous. He's quick. He's got good hands. He reads the ball in the air beautifully.
191.
So he's like, he reminds me of a bit of Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah,
he kicked 86 after 54 games.
Yeah.
So Neal is right there in the conversation with all those players.
And none of those blokes had either Tom Hawkins or Jeremy Cameron at times in the forward line with them.
No, which they've also, you could argue that Neil's played in a pretty good team.
Yep.
They get plenty of opportunities. Gold Coast haven't.
No.
Particularly.
Last couple of years, though.
Last couple of years, though. But you took the first 54 games for King.
Yep.
There were some games there where they were getting their pants pulled down. But Georgiadis perhaps a little bit the same. Port Adelaide, well, they've always been pretty good under Kenny, weren't they? So anyway, it's just interesting that he is in the conversation goal-wise with those players who we're considering to be, you know, top of the tree of ascending forwards in the competition.
We've had some feedback, Benny.
Feedback.
Oh, do you want to hear what he says about feedback?
It's a gift.
And you choose how to unwrap it.
Yeah, I'll unwrap it, Kenny. I love unwrapping stuff.
Private message.
Private message. So this is someone you know?
No. No, it's not somebody. No,
this
is private message. Private message on Facebook.
Yeah.
To the K-Rock Football Facebook page. Any danger of getting rid of Ben from the Cat Attack podcast?
Oh.
His jokes aren't funny. Really? Hallelujah. And just ruin the flow of an otherwise entertaining show. Not a prude, just not funny.
Is this? Do you think this is from a female or a male?
I have no idea.
Well, who is it? What's the handle say?
No, it's an almost an anonymous
So
handle.
Somebody just said that anonymously. Why don't you put your name to it? If you're not happy, that's fine. Switch off. I don't care. But don't put your name to that. If you're going to provide feedback, put your name to it.
No, it's just initials, that's all.
What's the, what are the initials?
That's unfair on the person. It was a private message. I can read the feedback.
Well, they can't provide feedback privately and then just can someone and then not provide your name.
You can be canned.
No.
We can can you.
Just turn it off.
I had a joke that I wanted to tell during the broadcast the other night.
Right. And what is it?
Actually,
I got a joke. Well, it's not a joke because I ran into a bloke at the carnival.
At Warrnambool?
Yeah, I went to school with him.
Yep.
Anyway, we're chatting about stuff and yada yada. And he said, we're talking about stuff. And he goes, when he left school,
mm-hmm.
he said to me these twins, he said that I knew. He said, I went out with them. And I go, what do you mean?
With them?
Yeah. He goes, I went out with both of them. And I thought, my God. I said, how did you, like, because they were identical twins.
Yeah.
And how did you know what? What are you laughing at?
I know the slide to this, and it doesn't fly.
It'll fly on this.
Do you want some questions, Benny?
You've got to use punctuation, Kingy.
Yes, especially when something to do with your uncle and a horse.
Uncle Jack.
Yes. Right. Anyway.
Uncle Jack.
Enough cryo.
Yeah.
You boys are looking slim. Are you both on the Ozempic or the keto diet, looking skinnier than Zach Guthrie circa 2017?
Well, no.
I've been in the gym.
Have you?
Yeah.
You're just pumping on.
No, just cardio.
Oh, yeah.
12 kilos in 6 months.
Have you?
Yep.
Right. Well, I don't think I've done anything like that. I've moved a few on. I think I've just doesn't really... I walk the dog. That's enough of me.
Yeah. Anyway, onto the serious stuff. How good is the Irish Dacos? Casablanca's talent spotting as good as Ben Reid in the 2011 Grand Final. How good is the Bull? Thank you, Nath.
Talking about Mullen.
Mm.
Yeah, I've been a humongous fan.
No, that's coming.
What do you mean that's coming?
No, there's something in the questions.
I can't answer enough.
I'll
answer enough later.
Damien Tedesco.
I've got a good memory, Nath. Don't worry about that. That's one thing I have got. I might not be funny, but old mate there, I've got a good memory.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, great call once again. Great on K-Rock for getting Big Reg. His insights and one eye of the blue and white hoops is great. Benny thought Mullen had it heat on one game. Damien Tedesco, can you help me out with some of your writing here? Good to see Henry have a good game against the old side. Thought great team effort.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good effort from everyone. We've spoken about it and... Ollie Henry, he's been one of, I've been on for his whole career, and he's had a couple of really good games. He needs to continue to go. Is he going to kick four goals every week? No.
No.
He just needs to be able to have an influence. And, I mean, even, he kicked 4-1, I think it was. The Manor goal that Manor got in the third quarter, when he roved it and sort of outside of the right boot, kicked it through, that was all because... Ollie Henry had created a contest.
Yep.
So it's not all about stats, but Ollie Henry flew hard and created the contest spillage. So those little things he just needs to keep doing. And thrilled for him because it's obviously, he's got a lot of talent, Ollie Henry, and it's a packed forward line. And in 2 years' time, some of those blokes aren't going to be there. Dangerfield, Martin, just
Cameron.
Ever come back, Cameron. He's... You know, there'll be more room for him in time and he'll be even better. I'm not just saying he's going to be a key forward, but he's, I rap for him that he's playing well. Hopefully he can do it again on Thursday night.
Ultimate Warrior and Trevor Young. Now, Ultimate Warrior's just written, Oshin, apology, please, Ben.
Well, do I need to apologise? All I said was he needs to get more of the ball because you can't have a bloke who's defensive... who then is only touching the ball six times. And then if that's not working, if his matchup isn't working, you're in all sorts of trouble. So I've got stats on old mate too. I've done homework here, Kingy. So I'm not funny, right, but I've done homework. So I'm just trying to find my homework, Kingy, and now I've found it. So Mullen
Yeah, your dog didn't eat it.
What?
Your homework.
No, no, I rarely did homework, unless Paul Garner produced me those magazines from when he used to rip the fronts off them and bring them into school. And then my bag of my St. Joseph's black bag, underneath the bit that at the bottom I used to put them in there in case any teacher wanted to look at me.
Oh, yeah, the black.
Plastic
bit.
At the bottom, yeah. So underneath that was just a... That was the contraband area.
Was that the equivalent of under your mattress?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, that's where they ended up. That's where Mum found them in the tennis bag. But so 24 he averaged 9.6.
Yep.
25 he averaged 9.8, and this year so far he's averaged...
I'm going to guess.
13.5. So he's gone up by four possessions last month have been... Can you read out what he sets up for the last month? So the last month, I just know the last three games, what he's been able to do is just be more involved in the game. So he had contested possessions in the last 3 weeks of 9, 10 and 9.
Right.
So my quick scan last night had him only topping contested possessions 7 times, once in the previous 49 matches. So he's gone 9, 10 and 9. They're his three highest contested possession numbers in his career. He may have had 9... once earlier on, but so he's just getting more of the ball. His skills, we're seeing his speed.
He had a 9 against Sydney in round 13, 2024.
Mind you, so people say, yeah, you didn't pick it, but whatever. I mean, he's played a couple of good games. Let's not put the cart before the horse.
No.
So would you have suggested, so when he, what's happened here is because he's an older player, the Cats have probably figured that he's better to learn on the run in the AFL senior team.
Yeah, well, he's 26 years old. Yeah.
Do you reckon that's fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you think that for many of those games between now and 50, let's say between 10 and 40, that Jed Buse was potentially a better option for the there and then?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he, if he was a 20-year-old or a 21-year-old,
he wouldn't have been playing.
He'd be learning in the twos.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. So we've been able to watch him learn on the run. And
but that's a credit to him.
That he's been able to, yeah. And so we only see the game, which is fine. The game is all about the game. So we can go on a Saturday, sit there and say, Mullins had three possessions. Wow. What we don't see is how he is at training. You know, the speed he can show at training, the endurance he shows at training. We don't see all that.
No.
The strength he has in the weight room. All those little things, we don't see that. We just see the game. That's all we can comment on. And he... They've played him to fast-track his development because he's an older player.
Yep. He came a year later than
there was games when he didn't deserve to be getting a game, just on face value.
Yep.
He had the traits, yes, but because he's older, they've had to play him. Now, can you do that with many players? No, you can't. You can't. And he, you know, how long's he signed for?
I think he's got at least two more.
So 28.
Yep.
Right. Look, he is trending in the right direction. What I like about him is that, you know, we've heard about his speed for a long time. You're slowly starting to see it more in general play. His confidence is growing. He's a perfect player for those... So he's out at the end of 27.
Yep.
So Geelong would be absolutely shitty if at the end of 27 he decided to go home and they've put that much time into it.
I don't think he is.
You reckon he's staying?
Yep.
Do you reckon there's enough Bugs Bunny there for him?
Well, there's no Bugs Bunny back home.
No, I know, but they don't. Sometimes that's not everything to everyone.
But if you could, you know, last it out 3 years and if he could sign another, his next deal's probably a 3-year deal from... Yeah. Take him through from 31.
Geelong would want to hope that happens because they'd be pretty shirty if they've put all this time into him and then when he's just about to sort of really hit his straps, he goes.
Yeah.
So you'd hope that happens. But the thing that he's very good at is he's got great agility. So he has an ability to – it happened a few times on – in fact, one of them was he gave away a free kick, which has been unlucky. But he's got a great ability to shadow somebody and not be out of his comfort zone in terms of his physical traits. So what I mean by that is he can keep up with the Dacos, he can keep up with a Rankin, he can keep up with a Charlie Cameron, and he's not out of his comfort zone physically, And then he has the agility. He's very good. I noticed, in fact, I mentioned this on the Kerr's Eye Cat Attack podcast after we played Adelaide and he did a number on Rankin. His ability to stay with Rankin as Rankin was like moving through the contest.
Yep.
Neil Mullen was right with him, which not everybody can do that because they don't have the traits to do that. Someone like, I'm thinking of taggers from the Cats. Cameron Ling wouldn't be able to do that.
No.
He was better suited tagging a different sort of player.
Yeah, yeah.
A bigger, more straight line player.
Yep.
Mullen is very good to get in and off the line. Dacos is perfect for him, Nick Dacos. Rankin is perfect for him. Yep. I reckon Neil will be good for him.
Yep.
McCluggage is more of a straight line type player. Yep. So, I mean, I'm not saying Mullen couldn't tag him, but he's much better suited to those smaller, agile types.
He could go to a Goulden or somebody like that the following week.
Yes. They're the players he suits.
Yep.
Because he's gifted physically.
Would he go to Cozzy Pickett?
Yeah. Yep. I'd love to see that. Hmm. Now, he's next level quick.
Oh, yeah. But Mullen isn't a strider quick. He's pistons. He is.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't look smooth.
No.
But he's
it's effective.
But you can see that he's not out of his comfort zone. And I'd love to see him play on Pickett, how that would go. Because all we've heard from Reg and from people at the Cats since he came to the club is how quick he is.
Yeah.
But we just never see it.
We're starting
to
now.
And Reg has been saying that since he joined us last year. Yeah. I can tell you he's quick. You just need to see it a little bit more. We saw it a couple of times on Saturday night. He ran tackled McCreary from behind. And he's starting to use it a little bit offensively when he's got the ball. His skills are improving.
Yep.
He's pretty good on the hitting a short target, going laterally and moving the ball off the line. He seems to be getting confidence up. And, yeah, look, is he heading in the right direction? Yes. Have the club played a huge role in that and playing him when they perhaps shouldn't have? Yes. And is it all hopefully coming together? Yes.
State of the Union sort of stuff from you, Ben, on Oisin Mullen.
Well, I just think people go, oh, you told you so. Well, no, I'm prepared to say that for the last 40 of his first 50 games, he probably should have been playing. He would have been in the twos if he was 20.
Trevor Young wants to know, do you keep Reece Stanley in for Mitch Edwards?
Yeah, I don't know. That we spoke about that. Can you
Stanley versus Fort and Draper a better option than Edwards against Fort and Draper? One of those with support from DeConing and Neil?
I mean, Edwards is probably a better matchup for Draper physically. Do you want somebody who's likely to perhaps join in and get the ball 15 times?
Stanley.
That's Stanley.
Yep.
Do you want to go with that ruckman who is a physical presence but is, you know, liable to touch the ball 5 times?
So here's one for you. Who's playing on Grundy the week after then?
That's a good one. Blitzarves.
So that's the other thing I suppose we haven't factored in. Blitzarves would.
Blitzarves comes back in.
Yeah.
You're not going to play Stanley, Blitzarves, and Edwards. I wouldn't have thought that'd be. You'd be the tallest side in the world with Neil DeConing.
So can you get away with Edwards playing with Blitzarves in the side?
Edwards and Blitzarves you can, because Blitzarves could play about 8 different positions.
Yeah. But I'm
Stanley
saying.
Stanley can't.
Yeah, but if you didn't have Blitzarves, you couldn't just go with Edwards by himself.
Solo?
Yeah.
Well, then you'd be looking at Neil and DeConing.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though, but I still think. Blitzarves at least gives you a genuine ruck, for want of a better term, if things went pear-shaped with Edwards. If Fort and Draper really got on top, whereas if they got on top of Edwards without Blitzarves in the side, you're better off going with Stanley.
Oh, geez, I don't know. It'll be very interesting. It'll be match committee 101. They'll be mulling it over. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the right thing to do there would be. If it was... Look, okay, if somebody said, what would you be doing? I would leave Stanley in with Blitzarves this week and then look at it for next week.
Edwards,
maybe Edwards coming in, yeah.
Yep. Trevor Young, Arngold, how good is it the rumour I started with you lads a couple of weeks ago about Toby Green coming to the Cats has started to get some legs? Danger out, Green in seems logical. I think they're worrying about Butters first.
Well, Butters sounds like he's going to the Bulldogs.
You reckon that's a lock?
Well, all that you're hearing is Bulldogs.
Yeah, okay.
So, and as we've said, the clubs know exactly what players are doing. They know, Butters knows exactly where he's playing next year. His management knows. I presume Port Adelaide would know. And all the rumours are it's the Bulldogs. And Geelong, I mean, Hawthorn have pulled out of the race. Hawthorn have...
turned their attention.
I think Collingwood have pulled out of the race for Ben King.
Yep.
So they know what he's doing. Geelong have turned their attention to others. One of them is... obviously, Toby Green.
Mm.
Geez, that'd be interesting. 32.
Him and Jezza are united.
Getting Green. Geez, could he have 1 year where he really turns it on in a new environment?
A bit like Stevie J's first year in Sydney.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, he's a gun. Yep. Yeah, oh, look, 2 year deal for Toby Green at 33-34. New environment, superstar. Has he dropped off a bit the last couple of years? Probably.
Yep.
Are they playing him in the midfield because Green's out? Yes, which doesn't suit him.
No.
Probably.
If he becomes just your mid, just your permanent. Half tough matchup forward.
Yeah, yeah, look, it's a really interesting one. They get him for nothing. Mm. I wouldn't be against it. I mean, you wouldn't be wanting to pay him a humongous amount.
No,
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, he's going to be on a bid, I suppose, but you're not going to be paying him $1 million.
Mm. Commander,
they need another midfielder. They need another sort of Tanner Bruin type, someone who's, like we've spoken about this 100 times on the Kurzawa Cat Attack podcast. They need someone that's between Warple and Atkins and between Holmes and Smith.
Yep.
And do you know what I'd love to get? Do you know what we don't have? Which other sides like Hawthorn do? So do, I'm trying to think, Sydney. Hawthorn definitely do. We don't have left footers.
Yeah.
We don't have left footers except Cameron. And Humphreys, maybe. But I'm not sure he's right or left. I think he's right.
He's right.
Because he had a set shot for goal and kick it on his right.
Yeah.
We don't have any left footers. Left footers are so make you so more unpredictable. Yep. Hawthorn are full of them.
Yep.
Ward.
Scrimshaw.
D'Ambrosio. Mm. There's more. Amon.
Yep.
If you've just got that mix of 4 or 5 left footers... it's not the be all and end all having a left footer, but that would be great. But Geelong need another midfielder. Could they have a crack at Bailey Humphrey as a midfielder?
Potentially.
I mean, he's done his time up forward. I think he can become a midfielder. He's more your Cam Rayner, but perhaps could play more midfield.
Yep.
He's a gun. He's an absolute gun. They'd be having to pay him a fair bit. Anyway, I think it'd be really interesting to see what happens over the next 2 or 3 weeks, but I reckon the Cats know what Butters is doing, and I reckon everything you hear is he's off to the Bulldogs.
Commander-in-Chief, who was the last player on Geelong's list to have a proper amount of, in inverted commas, thug in him? Not idiot level, but enough to make you think twice about giving him a gobful. I'm thinking Chappie.
Yeah, he did. Well, I mean, that team was full of them.
Yeah.
Scarlett. Stevie J.
Hmm. They weren't thugs. They were just...
No, well, there's no such thing as a thug anymore. You can't run around like Ronnie Andrews used to, just knocking blokes out. But Roger Merritt sort of style. But just guys who wouldn't take a backward step. Geelong's team was ruthless, that team.
Yep.
Scarlett, like I mentioned, Scarlett, Chapman, Johnson. Who was the other one we had there? There's one other we just mentioned. There's three.
Mm.
Who else in that team has had a bit of sort of ruthlessness about them? There's a few.
Oh, the skipper was ruthless.
Yeah, there you go. There's the skipper.
14 was as ruthless as they come.
I mean, the thug these days is no such thing. But no,
tough.
Just that relentless player who oh my God, I don't want to be playing on him. And would give a bit back and would... You know, was happy to get into the lip side of it. Johnson and Chapman were right up there. The greatest thug of all time.
Andrew Mackey?
Well, he wasn't. He was a singlet with arms.
No, I'm talking about on the lip, though.
On the lip he was, but then he'd run nigh beyond Scarlet if someone chased him, which was always nice. But the great thug was the Great Five. He was just extraordinary. He was knocking teeth out and then sitting on your head and then kicking it through post high from 50. He did everything. There wasn't anything Garrett... Well, name me one thing Gaz couldn't do.
Win a flag.
Yeah, that's a team thing. Name me one thing individually he could not do on the field.
He was pretty good.
Pretty good? Name me one player that even is remotely close.
There's nobody, Ben.
Give me one.
No, there isn't one.
Well, I'm trying... There's got to be someone.
Lee Matthews was a freak.
Would you say Dangerfield?
Yeah. Carey in his prime in the 90s was
unbelievable. A different sort of player, though.
But still.
Gaz was only 191.
Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy the Cat.
No, we don't talk about Gaz.
Yes, no, we're moving on.
I wanted to know that person's name.
Would like to know why Dangerfield seems to have excessive toilet breaks during games. Happened in the grand final and still now? I've got no idea.
Don't know.
Weak bladder? I'm not sure.
He's getting older. Maybe he's just going for a prostate check, can you? Do you think?
No, probably not. Marky Mark.
What do you think about that when the guy said you heard about
no,
that?
No, Ben.
No.
Can we move on?
The guy, no, this is no, clean kinging.
No, I have work to do and no, I want to get through this podcast.
Right.
Imagine the sheer chaos magic of Ben and Reg.
Just where do I hang my pants? Next, just over there next to mine.
Ben and Reg, make it happen, please, K-Rock.
Oh, your old mate wouldn't like that. Wasn't happy with me.
Ollie Henry's.
Yeah, we should do, we could do that one. I could do one from home, kinging. I could just send it out. It could just be no holes barred.
Yeah. Ollie Henry's kicked the most goals from anyone in the 2020 draft, which includes Thill, Thorpe, McDonald and Neil. Token opener, Mick Howley with Mullen turning into a midfield beast. Could this week be the week that the cleaner accidentally finds Jed Bew's magnet, moves it to a back pocket and the selection committee recall him?
No, unfortunately.
Right.
He won't be getting a game.
Yes.
I don't think he's not playing again for the Cats.
Just a few others. Dudas Maximus, how soon before teams employ a hard tag against Oisin Mullen?
Yeah, boom, boom. Nice one, Moz.
Yeah. Cats do it better. Boys, slow build so far this season. It seems to be tracking in the right direction. Even the whipping boys are hitting some form, heading to Brisbane this week. So hopefully we can keep tracking positively.
Yep.
Why don't we see Bruin play more mid-time, including centre bounce attendances?
Yes.
Is it a fitness issue? Has he drifted back a little in the last couple of weeks and doesn't look as explosive? Would love to see him inside more.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We've spoken about this too on the podcast that if you're going to play one-off halfback, I'd rather it be Holmes because the way he plays, he sort of links in more as a midfielder anyway because he's able to run and carry. So it becomes a sort of an extra in the midfield at times because he's able to break the lines. Bruin isn't that sort of player, and I don't know why he's not playing. I wouldn't have thought it was a fitness thing. I think he's worked pretty hard in his time away, and he's come back in really good shape.
Yeah.
And we saw earlier in the year him running out games really, really well. So I would really love to see him in the midfield. I think this week, it'd be interesting to see what they do because all those players I mentioned earlier for Brisbane, they are absolutely stacked in the midfield. It's like stacked. And that's where the Cats have had problems in the past.
Any news about the Cats opening up a list spot for the mid-season draft? Not that I'm aware of. Hopefully talking to Andrew Mackie, hopefully before the Sydney game.
We'll be able to ask him about Harley Barker. Wouldn't he be the one?
He would be the one. Or Conway.
Yeah, right. Conway misses the whole year again.
Sighted at training today, kicking the footy, by the way.
Was he?
Yep.
Did he have footy boots on?
He did.
Loch Ness?
No, I think he only had runners on.
Oh, right.
Howler 41, four goals to one. I thought that's another 4 points for the Pussycats. Blitz bends the knee, and when we fully invert it, hang on, that's an old one. I don't know where that's from. No, sorry, Howler 41. Not sure where you're going there. Cult of Kingsley, what do you make of Toby Green's name being linked to the Cats next year? We have discussed it.
Yep.
And Daz Broncos was a bit worried about Jack Henry's foot being long term. I saw him at training today on the track, so that tells me, and the coach has alluded to the fact.
And Blitzarf's trained, obviously.
Yep.
And Myers is fine.
Yep. Some Ollie Henry love.
Well, we didn't speak about Myers playing in the twos, Kingy.
21 disposals, three quarters.
Yeah.
Slipped over going for a kick on Victoria Park.
On the first kick, didn't he?
Yeah.
What did you make of all that? We spoke about it during the pregame.
Oh, he could do his knee anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised that you would run him out, especially on Victoria Park, which has recently got a history of not being the most stable of surfaces.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Do you want him to, if he's going to do it there rather than 5 minutes into a game at the MCG? They've weighed it up and gone with that.
I thought it was very weird.
Yeah. Ollie
weird, Kingy.
Yeah.
Weird. And then people saying, it was a 5 day break. We played three quarters on Saturday. The game was on the same day as the seniors played.
Yep.
So it was, anyway, it was very odd that the medical staff cleared him. They cleared him to play. They didn't clear him so you could only play him in the VFL. Mm-hmm. They cleared him to play and they played him in the Scoobs. I think they were skeptical, Kingy. They wanted to see him get through a game. There was skepticism with the and Chris Scott always says how the medical staff, they're beholden to everything they say, but they were very, very skeptical.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.